You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And, of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious and grateful host. And tonight is my live call-in show, and I am so excited about it. I want to connect with you. I want to hear the questions that you have for me, and I want to coach you. Well, I hope that you are making a decision to have a great week. And you know, as I say, it is your choice, because you really create your own reality. You create your own day, your own moment, your own week, your own life. And so you are co-creators with the God of the universe. Well, I'm excited about the call tonight, and this is your opportunity where you can get some free coaching, where you could ask me anything, and I will help you. You know, I'm really big on strategies. I think it was Dr. Joe Dispenza who said, it's not enough to know what. It's what people want to know now is how to. How do I take what I've heard and really begin to implement it in my life? How can I take the motivation and the inspiration that I've listened to and break it down, sometimes in a very elementary way, so that I can use it in my own life? So I'm just really pretty big on strategies. And so that's where we are going tonight. I have received lots of emails from people from all over the world. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. But I think I'm going to go to a quick commercial break first, and then I'll be right back.
Do you have an upcoming event where you need a dynamic speaker? Constance Arnold is a sought-after keynote speaker that will enlighten the entire audience with proven strategies that are aligned with your organization's vision and mission. An experienced speaker for major Fortune 500 companies, Constance has entertained audiences with inspiring change. Constance would love to make your next event an extraordinary success. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
For the past 30 years, Constance Arnold has coached clients globally in the areas of relationships, wealth, and career. Her vast clinical background gives her extraordinary understanding of human behavior to accelerate manifestation. Every coaching client receives proven action plans to create change from the inside out. Constance will be right by your side. Talk to her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Okay, I'm back. The first question that I received from a listener, I'm just going to give you the gist of it, has to do with healing. This person says, what are some things that I can begin to do to align myself using the law of attraction and universal laws in healing? She has been through cancer treatment, chemotherapy, and she wants to know what are some things that she can do. I want to give a shout out to this particular person who wants to remain anonymous and say, God bless you, and you are a strong person. And I'm just going to share with you some things that I feel can help you on the inside. You need to adhere to what your doctors are saying to you. But I just want to tell you some things that I know, and some experiences that I've had personally and with other people. First of all, everybody says that the body can really heal itself, and that our cells respond to our thinking. And so our sales are really influenced by our thinking, our mood. You know, that's like how we're feeling, if we're feeling sad or happy, or our pattern of thinking. So that can really influence and change our sales. They call it really transformation on a cellular level. And so I think I heard one scientist say that you can really instruct your cells and tell them what to do, and that you have between 50 and 70 million cells that are made every day. Oh, my goodness. So that means that this person can, in conjunction with everything else that you're doing, you can begin to change your thinking, your mood. I know the images of chemotherapy. I was with my sister before she made her transition, and just the images of that room, it is so powerful. But you can begin to, moment by moment, begin to change your thinking. And as you do, you create cells. Isn't that amazing that your body can create between 50 and 70 million cells every day? And 2 million are replaced every second. So that means that even while I have been talking, that new cells are created in all of our bodies. And I think it's 7 years, your entire body and mind is replaced with the new. So, you know, that's good news. So I would just say to this person, and I don't really have any pat answers for you, I would say, like Will Downing said, be happy for any small change. Once again, it goes back to what? Focus. Find something that you feel good about. It might be, wow, I was able to sit up for 2 hours instead of 1 hour. Or I was able to go outside and walk around in my garden and look at the flowers and receive some wonderful sunshine. So, you know, just be happy for small changes. And so, you know, even listeners who are healthy and well, boy, what would happen if in your life on a daily basis if you did these things? And so I'm going to say, as much as possible, really get yourself in a feeling of well-being. And by that I mean, you know, I don't know how, but I believe that as I rest and relax, that God is healing my body, that spirit is surrounding me. That's what I mean by well-being, because you were created for well-being. Begin to feel good emotionally. That may mean laughing, it may mean having a sense of hope, whatever that means for you. I know my sister, she was really funny anyway. We would laugh just about the smallest things. And you know, that really shifts and changes you emotionally. I would say find a team, your community, your family, and ask for help. I think it's so important that we reach out and that we really have what Maslow talked about, which is a sense of belonging. You know, that you belong, that you're part of something. I think I read somewhere they talked about addiction, that one of the main reasons for addiction is because people don't have a sense of belonging. So ask for help. Ask your neighbors. I understand you have worked on a job for 20 years. Ask your coworkers. Many times people don't know what to do. They want to do something, but they don't know what to do. Count your blessings. Once again, gratitude and focus. Because for, let's just say, 3 minutes, if you can focus in on, my hair is growing back, or I have more strength, or I was able to eat food today, or I'm gaining my weight back. Whatever it is, when you begin to be grateful, I'm going to talk about this a little later, I think. What happens neurologically is that your brain actually begins to create a new neurological pathway that says, wow, she's grateful for eating food. We're going to create a new pathway. She's going to be able to eat more food because the brain actually thinks that you want more of that. I'm going to say, look at a picture of you doing something that you used to do or that you want to do. If you used to be a runner, take a look at that. Take your sneakers out and just look at them. Maybe when you're in the bed, put your sneakers on your feet, you know, just as a reminder. I'm going to have you on again soon, and I'm going to be walking in or running. Maybe something you want to do. This is a time for you to dream. Go on YouTube, and if you want to travel again, begin to look at the places where you want to go. You know, it's something very powerful about dreaming. So, you know, and just imagining, because when you're in chemotherapy, I mean, as I said earlier, the visions of that are just powerful. And so anything that you can do to begin to change those images, I'm going to say meditate on healing scriptures and healing truth. And what does meditate on think? It's not just reading, it's thinking, considering, pondering. I am healed. God loves me and I am healed. You know, whatever that mantra is, whatever that scripture is, so you're meditating on that. And because when you worry, that's a form of meditation. So you're consciously making a decision to change that. I would say identify any stressors and let them go. This is a time usually when people decide, I don't want this and I want more of this. Let people go, situations go, make yourself a priority, say no to things, begin to set firm boundaries, etc. Nourish yourself with live organic food. Now, I don't know what this person's nutrition is, but you know, anytime you eat something live, I ate a donut the other day and it was good and juicy. It was Dunkin' Donuts. But then a couple of days later, I drank a green drink and I just felt it when I drank it and it went down. It just, I'm like, whoa, that's live. And so, you know, that nutrition and what you eat can really heal you. So I would suggest that you really begin to research organic food, live food. I don't know what your budget is, and do the best you can with that. Be happy and the body will restore itself. And so those are just some basic things that I want to add to your healing. And, you know, I say everybody has their own pathway to health. I mean, I don't know what pathway God has for you, but I'm going to say to you, just believe. I don't know what my pathway is, but God has a pathway for me. And right now, I just feel like saying my new mantra, which is today, everybody say it with me. And I want this woman to say it with me. Today is the best day of my life. Or 2016 is the best year of my life. And even when it's not, when you say it, you create it. Oh, and one other thing I would like to say to this person, I would really watch the words of my mouth around my body. Because people invariably are going to say, how you doing? How you feeling? I would ask people maybe sometimes not to even ask me that question. Or if they did, I would say, all is well. All is well. Because it really is. In the invisible spiritual world, in that fourth and fifth dimension, all is well. And when you use those words, you really bring it to pass. So that's what I would say to that particular person. And I am getting an email saying that people are not able to access the show. I don't know why, but I'm going to keep going. Okay, let's see. A question for my show is, I'm moving into my dream career, but the contracts, while coming in at a better pace, are not quite enough to pay my family bills. My question is, how do you suggest to someone who is moving toward their goals and following their heart make it through the tough times when money is needed in greater abundance than the dream career is producing? And that's from Sandra. I just got that in my email. Wow, Sandra, I have been through that. My goodness, she said, I love listening to your show. You are fabulous. Thank you, Sandra. I tell people that you really have to have two jobs. I mean, I think initially, if you don't want the pressure and the stress of moving toward a dream and not having any money. So I tell people, keep your day job, and then in the evenings, as you can, begin to work on your contracts and on the weekends. Now, I'll use me as an example. I kept my counseling job at the school system, and I only resigned when the contracts were really consistent and when they were big. Because what you don't want to do is put your family under pressure. And so I would say establish a great reputation in whatever area you're working in. I would also say begin to connect with other people who maybe are doing the same thing that you want to do contractually, and possibly you can get some subcontractors there because you know that many times when you get the big contracts with the federal government in the U.S. that they are required to subcontract a certain percentage to minority vendors, or minority meaning a female, or if you're a minority, etc., if you're disabled, to those contractors, they are required by law to subcontract. So I would say contact, it's a lot of contracts and contacts, right? So I would say definitely connect with and contact other contractors who are doing what you want to do so that you can subcontract. I would not leave my job, especially it looks like that you have a husband and he was in a car accident, and so maybe you are really carrying a lot of the load financially. But I would take my time to build my business. When I left my job at the school system, I left strategically. So a lot of people call it blind faith. I believe in strategic faith. I believe that where God gives a vision, there is provision. So I would take the contracts that were coming to me. I would really just perform in just an outstanding manner, which what? Creates repeat business. And so it took me a while to really establish repeat business, but when it happens, it's like the snowball effect. And so what am I saying? Keep your day job, but then keep your dream alive. Believe that if God indeed gave you that vision, that provision will come for you. But possibly there are many things that you need to get established. I call it the back end, which is your website, which is if you're doing contractual work, you have to have many places, many times, license and insurance. I would get other people to assist me, especially if you want to prepare for larger contracts. And so I would be grateful. I would thank God in advance for the large contracts. I would do everything to prepare to receive that large contract. I had somebody come and take me to dinner last week, and when he came in, I keep my coaching calendar on the wall. I'm kind of old school, you guys. I could keep my iPad or my phone, but I like to see just the big picture of what my month is going to look like. And he said, "My goodness, look at your calendar. It's all the way filled." And I said to him, "You're exactly right." I said, "But 15 years ago, I, in my vision And in my keeping hope alive and keeping my dream alive, I had a monthly calendar, and I just put in the names of people. Of course, I didn't know any of y'all, but I put in those names, and that manifested in my life. So to this lady, anything that you can do to keep your vision alive, I would say don't get frustrated. Don't try to rush it. Realize that you are preparing for that which you wish to experience. And so you mentioned the word pace. I see so many people get frustrated, but I would just keep my vision alive. I would connect with people. I would hang out with people who are doing what you want to do, not people who are trying to do, but people who are doing. I would even get me a mentor in that area so that that person, he or she, can help you and say, maybe do this, don't do this. This is the way you're connected. And I would be grateful for what's on its way. I would focus in on all of the good. If I just got a small contract, I would just be really grateful for that. So that's what I would tell you. You are working, but still pace yourself in the evenings and on Saturdays. I call it interim really working. You may work maybe an hour, looks like you have a family, then maybe go and take care of the needs of your family, then come back and work an hour. And you are just aligning yourself. It doesn't have to be a lot of struggle. You're preparing yourself for that which you wish to experience. Okay? That'll keep the momentum going, etc. And a lot of people like, oh, my God, anytime you're frustrated, it's resistance. When you're frustrated, what you're really saying is, I don't really believe this is taking too long. And anytime in my life when I tried to rush something, whether it was a relationship or money, and it wasn't happening, I realized that my very frustration was the thing that was keeping it from me because I was not in faith and not aligning myself. So that's a great question. Okay, let's see what else. Let me talk a little bit just about our thinking. I mentioned that earlier, but I want to talk a little bit about how you can do that. I'm going to take a sip of water first, okay? Okay, every day, most of us, like when we get up every day, most of us are traveling back in our past, in our thinking. You guys already know that you think 50 to 60,000 thoughts per day. So what happens is if you do not deliberately and intentionally say, in this moment, I'm going to think another thought. I'm happy. I'm grateful. I'm excited about what's coming. What will happen is those heightened memories keep creating the same experience. And I think they say something like 80% of what we're thinking and feeling all day long is in the past. And so if you want things to be different for you, you have to begin to stop living the past in the nowness of your life. And so we don't know that we're doing that. We just get up and, oh, my God, it's another day. And, oh, I got to take the kids to school. Instead of saying, wow, it's an exciting day. The children are going to have a great day at school. You see how I just said something very different. And so when you are thinking and feeling, because it's not just your thinking, but it's the feeling behind your thinking that creates those experiences that impact us on a cellular level. So when you keep on thinking about the past, then you're actually meditating. And all of us meditate. You're meditating and you are imagining something. So let me give you an example of that. I had a lady, she emailed me and she just like, man, I'm just so tired of being by myself on Friday nights. And she told me the name of the show, which I can't remember what the name of the show was. And so she was living in the past. It's Friday night again. I'm by myself. What am I going to do? I'm so tired of this. She didn't know that, but while she was sitting there eating her popcorn and looking at that same show that she looks at every Friday night, what was she doing? She was really living in the past. So what could she have done? She could have begun to live more in the future and bring that thinking and that feeling and that meditation in the nowness of her life, because you only create when now. You only create when now, at this very moment. And so she could have begun to say, wow, I'm so excited. Let's see. This is the dress that I'm going to wear on my first day. No, I think I'm going to wear this pantsuit. You see how in that moment we just really begin to what? Meditate, think, and feel something different. She could have begun to say, let's see, let me call these different restaurants and see which restaurant would I like to visit. So when you do that, what are you doing? You are bringing your thinking and that emotion and that meditation and that experience into the nowness of your life, and you only create when now. So when you're thinking the same thing, the brain field says, okay, Mary wants more of that. Let me give her that. So it keeps giving you the same thing over and over again. And then scientists are saying it begins to release the biochemicals associated with that emotion or that experience. For example, if you were really happy when you went to your high school reunion, you were the cutest and the most handsome person there. And if you were really happy and you think about that, you know, you feel the emotions, and biochemically, the emotions and the chemicals, and somebody even says the hormones associated with that experience are released. And so, ladies and gentlemen, at any time, you can really begin to change your life by what you bring into this moment of your life. So anything you want, the young lady who emailed me about the contracts, she could bring the experience of, wow, she could see herself signing for a large contract. She could see herself, like I said, signing on the dotted line, them calling her in and say, wow, we thought this contract was going to be for six figures, but now we actually need seven. So she could bring more of that. Does everybody see that? And so when you have repetitive experiences over and over and over again in the nowness of your life, you're really creating the new. So that's what I mean by you deliberately creating what you want in the nowness of your life, because what you are living now, you really created that yesterday. So if you want something different, you have to think, feel, believe, see, and say something different. And that's why I say start with one thing. So you meditate. What does meditate mean? You think on, you consider whatever that desire is with elevated emotion. Okay? I'll use me again. Before I went to Paris, I thought about Paris. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm going to see the Eiffel Tower. I'm going to fly into Charles de Gaulle Airport. I'm going to the French Riviera. I would go on YouTube and I would look at so many videos. What was I doing? I was meditating on that. I was thinking that I'm going to drink some great wine with French bread. So I wasn't there, but in my thinking, in my meditating, in my feeling, I brought that into my life. And so what happens is when you bring that into the nowness of your life, you begin to take action steps because that's who you are. I mean, I'm going to Paris. Does everybody see that? And so repetition, what it does is it enhances your neural pathways. And so those are some methods that you can use to really change anything that's happening in your life. Everybody got that? So you can only change in the present. Hope is in the future. And, you know, that's why the Spirit had me to change my mantra when I said the best is yet to come. And that was really great. And that's nothing but the truth. But hope is in the future. It's a forerunner of faith. It says, hey, something's coming, but faith is now. And that's why I am is in the nowness of your life. And so you want to bring the thing that you are hoping for into the now. So are you hoping to release weight? How can you bring that into the nowness of your life? I get a lot of emails about that, so let me answer that. You know, I'm so happy and grateful about my new weight release. You begin to see yourself in that black dress or whatever, you know, or in your skinny jeans. If you're a guy, I don't know, what do you guys wear? In your wonderful suit, Armani suit, whatever you're wearing, you begin to see that. You see people saying, oh my God, what have you done? You look so great. And then you're going to say back, well, I started this special eating program and then I started walking. So you're going to see that. What are you doing? You are bringing that hope into your future. If you're looking for a house, I'm just using these examples, and boy, your credit is just like crazy, or you don't have the down payment, or you don't know if you could get a house. And I tell people, just begin to see yourself in that house. Wow, it feels so great to be a homeowner. Let me look at this furniture. Go online and I don't know, I'm just going to say Rooms to Go. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Or Havity's or Macy's or wherever you shop, and just begin to look at furniture. Okay, this is what I'm going to put in my guest bedroom. This is what I'm going to put in the master bedroom. These are the towels that I'm going to use. Does everybody see that? What are you doing? You are bringing that hope that's in the future into the nowness of your life, and that's called faith. And so I am prosperous when now, not I'm going to be prosperous. That's where all of your I am affirmations should read. I am healthy. I am abundant. I am beautiful. I am loved, etc. And so you bring the promise, you bring the vision into this very moment. So this is what I did many years ago. People always ask me, well, how did you get wealth in your life? Well, you know, I got some promises in the Bible and some other mantras. And what I would do is I would sit down and take some time. It does take time and it does take investment. And I would say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want for wealth. I shall not want for anything. I shall not want for abundance. And I would just meditate on that. Remember that? I'm meditating. I'm thinking. I'm feeling. I'm an heir of God. What does an heir do? An heir has a lot of money. I began to think about all the rich people that I knew and how they didn't have to work for it, that it would just pass down to them. And I would meditate on that, and I would see that. I would see myself helping people. I would see myself digging well, paying for digging water wells in Africa. I got that out. God has prepared the good life for me. What's the good life? The good life is health. Is health. The good life is lots of love. The good life is friends. It's travel. It's helping people. It's free seminars. And I would just roll that around in my mind over and over and over again. So do you guys see how you can begin to do that? And let me just interject something here, since people can't get on the call. It's a good thing I'm prepared, right? I do have some other emails that I'm going to read. But listening to me, being inspired and motivated is not enough. You have to take it, break it down, and then implement it in your own life. What would that look like? It would look like that you might would listen to the same recording over and over again, and every day you're setting aside time to implement it. I'll give an example of me. Moi. This morning, I guess I took about 45 minutes, and I was going. I had to go into my office, and time really just flew by. But I read, I meditated, I looked over my notes, I thought about it, I did a little visualization. That was 45 minutes. And then later on during the course of the day, I took about 20 minutes, and I just began to do what I just shared with you, which was, how can I bring that hope into the nowness of my life? Everybody see that? How can I bring that? And I began to see that. I began to feel that, etc. And so that's how you break it down. All right. Somebody else sent me in the email and said, Constance, I got your book, Secrets of Success. By the way, you guys need to get this book. It's a workbook. It's really great. And then they asked me the question, can you give me more information on the goal setting part? I understand how to set my goals, but how do I come up with a dream team? Well, so in that part of my book, I talk about, you know, how can you make your dreams come true? How can you begin walking in your purpose and your destiny? You know, really writing down what your gifts and your talents are. I, and then you put your name, have the following dream. It's a powerful workbook. And then I have on there how to create a dream team, because I believe nobody does it alone, and that we all need help. We need people with different gifts, different talents. I think brainstorming is so essential. I have Sabrina who helps me, but then I have a Miss Battle who helps me. She helps me with my social media. She's teaching me how to Periscope. You know, I'm going to be doing live Facebook, all of that. And she is so smart, and she's so talented, and she's what I need. She's a part of my team. I have a lady who she does my hair. Sparkle, the stylist, and she does my makeup. And so we just had a little mini photo shoot this past Sunday. And so I put one picture on Facebook, and I think Tanika is going to put some on my website. But people were like, oh, my God, you're so beautiful. Well, I can't put on my makeup like she does. But she's teaching me how to do that. But I need her. Why? Because she's an expert. She knows how to mix the colors and make my foundation look so natural and my hair just so many different ways, etc. Why? Because I need those people on my team. So when you're building a team, I'm going to say that you really need to be really clear about what your vision, and you need to be able to communicate it with people, you know, in a clear, concise way. And so that people will want to help you. And so this particular person said, well, I don't have the money. Well, I guess write down, who are some friends who can help you? What about family members that can help you? This particular person is currently working. What about business associates who can help you? What about organizations and associations? You know, now, man, you could go to Small Business Administration. They have all kinds of business entrepreneur classes at local and state universities. So you could go to those organizations. A lot of these courses are free. Some you do have to pay for, but anytime you're in business, there is always an investment. So you get out a piece of paper and you write that down. What people can help me? What people can advise me? And that's really important when you're in business. You cannot be the long ranger in your office behind your computer just researching. You need to be able to talk to people who have done or who are doing what you desire to be. You need to have a mentor who's been there and done that. And so that's crucial. Because I always say a mentor or a coach can tell you in 20 minutes what it took her 20 years to learn. Let me say that again. So a mentor can tell you in 20 minutes what it took her 20 years to learn. And so you want to have people to advise you, and people really want to help you if you could tell them in a clear, concise way what you want from them. I've just started this contractual business, and I really would like your expertise on the legal ramifications of being a subcontractor. So you go in, you're really clear about what you want, etc. So that's how you build a dream team. You ask for what you want. You tell them what you're doing, why you are doing what you're doing, and how they can help you. So that's what I would say to the person who is doing that. Don't try to do it alone. And so you may say, I don't have any money. Well, you don't always need money. Now, initially, you may not need any money, but there may come a time when you will need more money to really come in and to assist you. And so anybody who has a big dream, they have people around them. I don't necessarily want to know everything administratively that Sabrina does. I mean, I have enough on my plate. I just want to be able to focus in on speaking, doing my radio show, and coaching. Those are the three things that I'm doing. So that's how you build a dream team. Everybody got that? All right. Received another email who says, how can I begin to say no to those things that no longer serve me? And I'm not going to read the whole email because I don't have time. But basically, the person says that she feels that so many things are just draining her energy and her attention, and she can't focus in on her goals and her dreams. And whenever she does, she feels like she gets pulled off. So I have a great section in my book, once again, and I'm just not saying it, but it's really the truth. Obviously, this person really has some issues with codependency and not setting boundaries. But do you know people really respect you when you say no to them? No, I can't do that. And when you have a dream and when you have a vision, you have to really be focused in on that. You cannot allow distractions and other people and circumstances and your environment to really pull you off of your vision. And so one thing that I have in my book is, I love this section, it's talking about what's draining you, who and what in your life is draining you, and what do you need to do in order to have things and people that fuel you. And so I have some great examples of relationships. Let me read a couple of them to you, okay? Relationships. In the relationships area, is there anybody that you need to forgive? Do you have people in your life who you are the one who does all of the giving? Are you a part of a loving and supportive community? Environment. We're talking about what's draining you. What is your environment like? My goodness, is your car in need of repair or cleaning? My car is clean. I can say that. Is your home decorated in a way that nurtures you? Does your environment really reflect the beauty that you desire? Why is this important to this person who wrote in this email? Because all of those things, if your home is really messy, it drains you. You know, subliminally, it drains you. If your car is in a mess, it drains you. I guess a couple of weeks ago, I had about 3 pair of shoes in the back of my car. And I just said, I'm going to bring those shoes in my house. And because I had different meetings to go to. So I had a pair of high heels, and then I had a really pair of high heels because I went out that evening, and then I had a pair of flat shoes. So I was actually changing shoes all of that day, and I had left them in my car. But those things, when there's not order, those kinds of things really drain you. Then I have a section, body, soul, and spirit. When it comes, do you eat foods that are good for you? Aha. Do you get enough sleep? Do you feel fully rested? Do you have emotional needs that consistently go unmet? That's body, soul, and spirit. All of those things drain you. And so for this listener who wrote in, you really need to take a look at what's in your life that's fueling you. Do you have friends? Are you eating properly? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you clear about what your goals are? Is your life organized? Is your house organized? Do you have any kind of unresolved conflict with a family member? Do you have love in your life? And that may or may not mean a romantic partner, but do you have people who love and support you? Those are all things that fuel you, that give life to you. And that is so important as you are moving toward what? Your dream. I don't believe that you can fully move toward your dream with passion when you have a lot of people pulling at you, when you have a lot of areas where you feel drained, you're not fully present. And then I have work. Okay, is your work stressful? So we know if it is, that's draining you. Are you avoiding confrontation or conflict at work with another coworker? That's draining you. Does your work allow you to be creative? That's what? Adding to you. Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work and energy that you have to put out at work? So that would be draining you. So you see what I mean? So you make a decision to take a look at, just get a piece of paper and write down what's draining you in the area of work, in the area of money, in the area of body, soul, and spirit, and in the area of relationships. Okay, let's talk about money. Do you have tax returns that are not filed or unpaid? That's draining you, right? I've been there. Do you pay your bills late? That would be draining you. Do you have a regular savings? So can you see how when you begin to take a look at your life, many of you are wondering, well, why is it that I'm not moving forward? Or why is it that I have this big dream, but I seem to get started, and then for some reason, I just stop? Everybody see that? And so get a piece of paper, write down what's draining me in the area of relationships, money, etc., all of the areas that I just read to you, and then write down what do I need to do to add more inspiration, motivation, or add people that fuel me. Or more importantly, you can just get my book. Secrets of Success, that's at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Okay, I have about 15 minutes and people are saying, I tried to get on, so I'll make sure the next time I do a live call that you guys are able to get on. So I did receive an email that says, and I'm not going to read it, but basically this person is thinking about leaving their husband. And they wanted to know what would I suggest. And they went into some detail, but I'm not going to go into detail. Well, first of all, I have never given a directive for a man or a woman to leave their relationship. In the case of abuse, I always say, you need to have a plan, support, and when you're ready to leave. And the reason that I never tell a person to leave is because that is a covenant between those two people and God. And so this person, and it's a female that sent in the email, usually, and guys, I love you, but usually when a woman is ready to leave a relationship, usually that person has really, I would say, really done everything they know to do. So, of course, these are some general things that I would tell this person. First of all, the only person that you can change is yourself. You cannot change your husband. So stop nagging, crying, begging, and begin to work on yourself. And then when you change, the relationship will change. And so how do you work on yourself? I'm going to say to you, I would go for individual counseling, marriage counseling. I would take a look at my own stuff, whatever that is, because both of you brought stuff into that relationship. And many times we think, wow, if I could just get married, and then I'm going to be happy. And that's very true, because love is a powerful force. But you want to come to that relationship healthy. And from what I read in this email that this particular listener sent to me, there was a lot of codependency there. This person said they were very needy. They focus in on the needs of others while they ignored their own. And they really came from a place of abandonment. And so they really feel like they stayed in the relationship too long. So I would say really go to a counselor that really deals with the typical characteristics of a codependent. Because when you stay in relationships where they're not healthy, you really have a sense of feeling powerless. You may have a lot of anger or feelings that have been held in that need to be shared in a professional environment, etc. And so I would definitely do that. I would attend a codependent free support groups where you can learn about how you can stop being a caretaker. And a caretaker is just someone who cares for the needs of somebody else over their own. Where you can learn how to stop being hurt and always feeling rejected. You know, where you can learn how to come to some sense of who you are. Who am I, and what do I want? And so once you do that, then you would be able to really, you know, make maybe a really solid, clear decision on what you want to do. You said that you've asked your husband to go to counseling and he said no. And that is a difficult place for any spouse to be. But I would first work on myself, as I said, and then you would be able to make a decision. And it looks like from your email that you have habitually chose relationships with people, with men who were emotionally unavailable to you. And all of that is a part of codependency. And so when you're in a relationship and it's really, really stressful, I've been there, done that, you know, you really can't share how you feel. It can be very stressful. It impacts you body, soul, and spirit. And I think that a lot of people stay in relationships because they are afraid of change. But I believe that once you go in for counseling, then you will get a clear picture. I had someone tell me the other day, wow, I can really see now. Because it's something about knowing who you are. It's something about getting emotional and psychological healing. It's like you've been in a hurricane and all of the debris. Have you ever seen on television where all of the debris sort of covers somebody up and you hear a small voice saying, help, help? And what happens is after that debris is lifted off of you, then you're really able to breathe and come out of that situation, and you can say, I can see clearly now. and you know exactly what to do. And so, you know, that's what I would say to that particular person. And while I'm on that, I'm going to say to you that nobody can make you happy. People can only bring to you more of who you are. So what do I mean by that? People can only bring to you more love. And so I think it's an injustice when we have such lofty expectations of people to make me happy, make me complete, fulfill me. I think that when you go into a relationship that you need to be as healthy emotionally and psychologically as possible, and you go in from a place of, hey, I'm already abundant, I'm already healed, what can I do to serve you? Not a real needy place. And, you know, just personally, you know, I've certainly gone in and done the work, but there were times in the past where I was so needy emotionally. And I came across very independent, very business, very all of that. But in a relationship, I was very needy. And he would say to me, I thought you were... you know, he was shy. I thought you were Miss Independent. And so the best thing, ladies and gentlemen, that you can do is to really heal yourself, is to really take the time to heal yourself and not allow your childhood issues, abandonment, past relationships, what happened on your last job, what your mother and father did or did not do for you, any kind of unforgiveness, all of those things really keep you in that place that I talked about of reliving in the past. And so what will happen is you will keep recreating that same thing over and over again. So I want you to rise up in all of the power that God has created you to be and to do, and to put that behind you. I want you to rise up and say, okay, this is really hard for me, and I don't really feel like going through all of the pain of this. And I tell people, either you pay now or you pay later. Which one do you want? So pay now. Remember my story when James Powers interviewed me? I went to support group on Monday and Thursday night for 2 years. Why? I was hungry for change. I was hungry for becoming healthy. And so I would say to this lady, focus in on yourself. Pray for your husband, but the only person that can change your husband is God. He'll have to make a choice. And as I said, you will see clearly what your next step should be. I would get support that I needed, whatever that would look like, from your pastor, from a mentor, in addition to somebody professionally. And the interesting thing is, once you really get healing in one area, it impacts other areas. For example, this particular person, or maybe another listener, I mean, once your identity is really revealed to you, I believe we're suffering from stolen identity. We don't know how powerful we are. We don't know how awesome we are. But once she really becomes healed, then it would change how she sees her work. It would change how she sees her body. It would change how she sees her children. I don't know if she has children or not. But since everything is connected, that it's like a snowball effect, that it impacts everything. But that's what I would say to that particular person who sent that email in. I am so glad that I had an opportunity to answer all of your emails and didn't get a chance to take any live calls. But guess what? That's all right, because you received a lot of knowledge and wisdom that you can begin to implement into your life. Of course, you can visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Would love for you to look under store and take advantage of my coaching packages. You know, I'm coaching people on 5 continents, of my 2 books, especially the one that I referred to today, Secrets of Success. Download that. Boy, just doing that book will radically change your life. And of course, I know this show is blessing your life, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a donation. You can do that on my website page. And while you're on there, check out some of my latest pictures. You can see me kind of having fun, that I'm not this guru who has all the answers, but I'm very balanced. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold saying what God loves you, and you know that I'm crazy about you, and I love you, and let's say it together, everybody. Today is the best day of my life, and 2016 is the best year of my life. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.